I want to ask you if you would to pray with me as we begin. Lord, I come to you now on behalf of a people that are literally spanning the globe. We are a people who truly are under one faith, as one family, with one focus. May you receive all the glory as we continue to celebrate your grace and distribute your gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, as we begin this morning, I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about your personal experiences and when you have seen in your life dysfunctional families. I want you to think about where and when you have seen dysfunction in its fullness. I want you to think about where and when you've seen destruction come through dysfunction. And I'd like you to ask yourself, where have I seen that at its absolute worst? Now, I'd like to offer you a perspective that most people would not have, an answer that most people would not bring. And then, in our time together today, to the glory of God, through the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, I pray that you will see that this is truth in love. What I bring to you today is truth in love. I would suggest to you that perhaps the most dysfunctional family in all the world, the one that is doing the most damage and destruction, is the cultural church. The cultural church is today, whether you are here in Maryland, in Vermont, in Kampala, Uganda, spreading across the country of India, where all of our Bridge family is. It's the cultural church that is the most dysfunctional family. And know that it is God and his word that says the church is his family. The body, the family, the people of God. And I pray that you will see, as today I introduce you to the Stickman Church, a tool that I pray will help you and help others. Let me show you this image as we begin. As we understand the Stickman Church, it's to see that it is the Stickman Gospel then progressing into what is now the Stickman Church. By way of introduction, let me tell you, for many of you, you're not familiar with the Stickman Gospel. Let me give you a quick summary of the Quickman Gospel. It is to see in this image that everyone starts dead. Matthew, if you can go to slide 2, please. Here you'll see it now in the 2.0 version. It's coming in our children's layout as well. What I share with you today is already in production and nearly complete. We will have it in black and white for the mission field, where you can draw it in the sand with a stick, or you can walk with children as a curriculum through. Slide 2, please, Matthew. Just a refresher on what it is to see the Stickman Gospel. We all start dead in our sins. We have a barrier of spiritual warfare that prevents us from coming to the cross. If we do come to the cross, it's going to be because the Lord draws us, and then we will repent and believe. We'll come to the cross, where is the only place where we can be saved. We'll come through the cross, living now on mission, carrying our cross and going for our King. And in the Stickman, there's the warning of those who jump over the cross, for which Jesus spoke at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, those who are building their houses on sand, those sandcastle churches that are doing the damage that will be wiped out at the end, those who will say to Jesus one day, "But Lord, Lord, did I not do, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Not I forgot about you, I never knew you." And it warns of those who tunnel under, the wolves in sheep's clothing. Well, with this, I pray that you'll see that there's one church. Slide 3, Matthew, Christ Church, the real church. This is the portrait of those who are truly in Christ, devoted to bringing him glory by making disciples, finding the lost, growing the found. This is what it looks like. You come in from the gospel to become the church, and you go out as the church. Simple enough, right? Let me tell you, not understanding that biblically, not living that biblically, has led to the epidemic of the world's cultural church and the dysfunction and the destruction that is coming out of it. It is critically important that you and I understand that truth and love fights for the family of God. I give you one text today that will serve as an umbrella for our time together. And I'm not going to read it because I've encouraged our children to be with us today. But I want you in your own time to go back to Genesis 29, verse 25. Here you will see why I've entitled the sermon today, Family Matters. You'll see some family matters on display in Genesis 29, 25. And you'll see that family matters. Who you are, who you understand yourself to be, who is and who is not the family of God. This is a critically important truth. I'm also going to weave together with you today not only this tool to help you go forward, but I'm going to take you back to show you the timelessness of the truth of God's word and the message and the mission of this family of God called The Bridge. I want you to watch this, and then we'll come back and we'll unpack this throughout the morning. Let me ask you a question as we begin this morning. A question that you may not feel fits in church, but I promise you this is right where it belongs. You ready? Here's the question. What are you willing to fight for? What are you willing to fight for? You may be surprised to find that truth and love fight. Truth and love fight. In God's grace, as an extension of his gospel, and all for his glory. Now, that may again sound a little strange, but if you know where we are, we're finishing today a series called Lovers and Liars, a subset that is 2 John. We've looked now at 2 John for what will be 6 weeks. And we've done it coming out of Hebrews. If you haven't been with us, let me tell you, we're 82 weeks into Hebrews, and we've got about 3 weeks left. And I said to you just before we finished, let's leave Hebrews at verse 19 of chapter 13, and let's go to 2 John, because I think you're going to see a beautiful symphony of the scriptures, how God harmonizes his holy word. So today, that's where we are. We're at this place where we're going to close out 2 John. We're going to link back into Hebrews 13. And all of this under the express power, purpose, promise of God's word. We're going to see real relationships as given through God's word. All of this harmonizing with the message of Hebrews and the message of 2 John. And here's a little preview. I'm going to prove this to you from God's word, starting with the book of Jude. Then we're going to go and we're going to jump back into Hebrews. Then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Then we're going to come into 2 John. We'll go back to 1 John. Then we'll jump to Revelation and we'll finish right where we were last week. And I plan to bring this into a place that I pray God will carve out of your heart so that you and I will never, ever be the same. And in that unchangeable truth and love, we will be the family of God that truth and love fights for. Truth and love fights for family. That's the title of today's sermon. It's the big idea from all of 2 John. It's the implication and application of 2 John. Truth and love fight for family. Now, I also want to do this in a way that harmonizes your experience as the Bridge family. Again, I want to bring you back to our roots. I want to bring you over the oceans, up the eastern shoreboard, down the eastern shoreboard. I want to bring you from yesteryear to last week to right here today to as long as God gives us a future, what will be at the bullseye of our biblical pursuits. Amen? Let me share with you God's word. Here's the text for today. 2 John verses 12 and 13. This is where the book closes out. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you. I preached these words in Uganda 2.5 weeks ago. And in 5 different villages, I said to them, I came to you in the spirit of 2 John. I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete, fulfilled, all that it could and should be. And closing verse, the children of your elect sister greet you. I took to Uganda your greeting, Bridge family. I said, your brothers and sisters on Kent Island, Maryland, in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, they greet you. I bring to you the message of 2 John. I did that in Uganda 2.5 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, I went from village to village. Now I'm here. Came through the snow yesterday morning from Vermont. Pastor Charlie is up in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, bringing this exact same message. I pray that you will take this message everywhere you go this week and for the rest of your life. That you, Bridge family, you, Christian, will go as a member of God's family. That you will speak like the one who is here in 2 John. Whether you're the elder that's speaking or you're the elect sister or the children of God that are hearing, that this will be our message. Now let me remind you of something that we need to be reminded of. And I want to take you back 12 and a half years ago. And I want you to ask yourself if this has been the same message you have heard all along. And notice that it comes from God's word, and that's why it doesn't change. Let me remind you of what we need to be reminded of to the glory of God. All right, well, those of you that call the Bridge home know that we are walking through a series that I have entitled Total Truth, and we're looking at the New Testament book of Jude. In short, the first four verses say this: I wanted to write you a wonderful letter to celebrate our relationship in Christ. But instead, because there are literally wolves out there seeking to attack and devour your soul, instead, I had to write you a warning letter. I had to write you a letter that said, beware the false teachers that are out there telling people what they want to hear instead of telling them the truth. You need to watch out for them because we have seen that they can be terribly effective and that they are leading many, many people away from the truth. In essence, leading them away from heaven and pointing them to a very real hell. The bulk of the remaining part of the book is designed to tell us and give us descriptions of what those false teachers look like, what could happen, and what the alternative is if you give your heart to Christ. Jude says, I told you why I'm writing. There's this very real problem. And later on, I'm going to describe all those people to you and tell you exactly what to look out for. But right here in verse 5, 6, and 7, and let me start off by reading you verse 5. Jude, verse 5 says this, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. What are we saying, Jeff? What is this pivot point that you're talking about? Look at the very first set of words. Though you already know this. Here's what I want you to see. Oftentimes as a preacher, my goal is to help you see what you do not see. It's to open up God's word and to bring to you something that is brand new. Something that you honestly walk away from saying, wow, I never knew that. Or I thought I knew it, but the depth to which I now understand it. That is truly amazing. I get your point. How does that tie in? Here's how it ties in. Jude says this in verse 5, though you already know this. One of the realities of a pastor, understanding my job is not to entertain you. My job is not necessarily always to teach you something new. My job is to equip you to become a disciple who lives a lifestyle that honors and glorifies God. I'm to be an equipper. Now, sometimes the role of an equipper is to teach you something totally new. There are other times, however, and this is one of them, where my job is not necessarily to teach you something new, not to come up with this revelation that makes you say, wow, that was amazing. Sometimes my job as an equipper is to open up God's word and come and tap you on the heart and say this, though you already know this, I want to remind you. Sometimes my job in building you up is to simply bring you back around to a truth that you already know. And that's what Jude is doing here. Let me ask you, how excited are you about being reminded? How do you like being reminded of that which you already know? It's rhetorical. I know you don't like it. It's not something that we normally ask for seconds of. It's something where you might find yourself thinking, oh, here we go again. Well, let me tell you, there's a reason why God repeats himself. There's a reason why the word remind, there's a reason why urge is in the scriptures over and over and over again. It's because it's what we need. And I pray you understand that there are things in the scriptures that we need. And when you look at the professing family of God, you'll see that God has made this clear from the very beginning. I want you to think about the family of God, Adam and Eve, right? Didn't work out so well. Sin, problem. Cain kills Abel, right? We've already been walking through this. Ishmael, still fighting. His family today is at the heart of what is literally at war in the world against the family and the people of God. They're literally killing the family of God. Go forward. Esau, Jacob, the Edomites, they end up fighting against the Israelites. We'll see in the coming weeks. We're going to see Jacob here, his family, not such a great family. Corruption is already in it. It's in our DNA. This is what we talked about last week. You got to understand that if sin goes unchecked, uncleansed, corruption reigns. And it reigns in the family of God. And I believe one of the reasons why we see this is because there is a real family of God, the remnant, the true, what I'll show you today is the invisible church. And there's a professing family of God, the cultural church, the visible church. Look at Jacob's 12 sons as we go forward. I mean, this picture has been in the Bible from the beginning. So let me show you the next slide in the Stickman church. Christ church, this is why it's important that we be his people per God's word, per God's will, and per God's ways. That's been the message from the beginning. If you look at the next one, it's to understand that we're all about God's glory, all about God's grace, and all about God's gospel. There's not room for anything else. When anything and everything else gets in, that's corruption. That's like cholesterol in the veins. That's going to do damage. Look again. We're about the gospel's miraculous, the gospel's messianic, and the gospel's missional message. This is who we are. This is all that we are. And anything else is a problem. Call it a cancer. Call it a toxin. It's what leads to what we have today. This is why in the next slide, as the church, we say, come and see. Come and see. Come and see what it is to walk into the front door of the real church. Again, think about what you see in the Bible. Not just Old Testament, go to the New Testament. Most of what we read is correction because of the corruption that comes in because we forget what we've been told to remember. Because the church stops being, you end up seeing exactly what we have today. We say, come and see, and what do we say? Come and see what it is to be. Being God's truth, being God's love, being God's warfare. Notice I don't say warrior because being is the act of warfare. As you be, you are bringing light into darkness. You are literally being the church. We, that's what we say. Come and see what it is to be this body of Christ. Next, we bring the invitation to come and see what discerning looks like. Discerning what it is to die to self, to biblically believe in what real winning is all about. Come and see next what growing worshipers look like, what growing workers of God look like, what growing witnesses is intended to look like. Come and see our Christ. Come and see who he is and what he's doing. Come and see next, equipping. Equipping people to be the family of God. Equipping praise so that we're not just singing songs, we're worshiping and praising our God. That we're equipping powerful prayer. People of prayer, that this is what it is. It's not going off a memory of reading something that we've heard 1,000 times. It's opening up and communicating with the living God, being communicated with from the living God. We say, come and see what it is to love up to love in and to love out, to literally be the church, not based on just what you know in your head, not just what you do with your hands, but right here in the heart, that it's really about loving up, loving in, and loving out. Come and see what abiding in Christ looks like and how abiding affects our seeking, our serving, and our sending. Come and see. Come and see what is true to the family of God. Come and see the unifying, the supernatural unifying. Three Greek words for you. Koinonia, fellowship. Ekklesia, biblical church. Homothumadon, together. With a riotous singular passion for the purpose of our God. Fourth word could fit in there is agape, all in his true Christ-like love. We say come and see as we make disciples so that we can then say go and tell. Go and tell. Let me show it to you in the children's version. This, again, just a little preview of what's coming. You'll see this as we get ready to equip and prepare our children as well. Matthew, do you have the children's version? Amen. I want you to see everything that's coming with the Stickman Church is going to also be available for cross-cultural equipping and discipling, which is what the 2.0 version does, as well as to directly walk our children through it. Amen. Next slide, Matthew. What we see next is that we say come and see for the express purpose of then being equipped to go and tell. Everything we do. Next one, Matthew. Come and see goes to then, or come and see is for the express purpose of go and tell. Matthew, are you able to come with me? Amen. This is the, no, I need you to back up, Matthew. This is the summary sheet. If you want to see the Stickman Church, here it is. And notice what you have here is the Stickman. At the end of the Stickman Gospel, you have three people. It's not visible there, but if you think about it, you have the one that came through the cross, the one who came over the cross, and the one who comes under the cross. The Stickman Church says, okay, let's move forward. Notice you've got these three in church. This is the problem. This is the visible church. This is the cultural church. You've got church all over the place that has those who climbed over the cross who are not Christians, those who tunneled under the cross who are not Christians, and those who really are the church that came through, and they're all together. What do you do with that? I'll tell you what you do. You should bring truth and love, and you fight for the family of God with this. Notice, it's truth, it's love, it's prayer, it's light coming into darkness. This is who we are. This is what we do. I want to share with you a video now that brings to light how important this is, how critically, eternally important. If the first one said, hey, listen, this is who we are and what we do, let me show you why. The message of 2 John is a warning. And it's a warning that follows 1 John, and it comes just before 3 John, and it's absolutely in sync with what you'll see in Revelation 2 and 3. My job is to equip you with what God has given you to be equipped with. And I'm reminded daily of how desperately this is needed. As I watch people drift away, as I watch people get disconnected and discontent because it's not what they want. When I watch people dilly-dally with lesser things and rationalize and make excuses for compromise in their lives, then I watch them get to the place of flat-out disobeying, and eventually they deny and they defy Christ. Now, if you've been with us, you know those are the five warnings of Hebrews. Seems like they jump right out of 2 John, doesn't it? Tell you what, if you'd read 2 Peter, if you read Titus, if you'd go all the way through Jude, you'd say, my goodness, this is all over the place. Camp out on the end of the Sermon on the Mount and listen to Jesus. We need this because truth and love fight for family. And we're talking about God's family here. Let me take you now through 2 John. We used our time already to look at the last two verses. Let me remind you of the other 11 verses. Verse 1 through 6. And then I'm going to hook you back up to Hebrews 13. Watch this. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. Remember? Truth and love, truth and love, truth and love, truth and love. Walk in obedience. Listen. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I love in truth, but also all who know the truth. because of the truth that abides in us, and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Truth and love, truth and love. Verse 4, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in truth. That means others weren't. Just as we were commanded by the Father, commanded to walk in truth and love. Verse 5, and now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love. This is love. This is love. That we walk according to his commandments. Well, I've got another kind of love. Your love is a lie. This is love. That we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Do you hear the intensity? You hear the clarity? Let me take you back now to Hebrews 13, verse 19, and watch how these two come together, even closer than Jude, and you'll see why we stopped where we did and came to 2 John. And I pray this will mark the point where we're going to bridge back into Hebrews next week. Watch this.
What would be a question or some questions that you would think of and say, of the most important things somebody needs to know, should know, what would those questions sound like? I have a few of them for you today, and the good news is that as we go into Hebrews chapter 13, verse 19 today, we're going to answer these three questions. So here's the first one. How important do you think it is that you know who you are and who you are not? How important do you think it is to know who somebody else is and who they are not? And perhaps even most important of all, how important is it to know how to know who is and who is not, who they think they are or are not? Well, my prayer is that you'll see today that it's eternally important, and that God and his word have spoken to this over and over and over again. We're going to see that the word, the will, and the ways of God never change, whether it's from times past or present, whether it's in one part of the Bible or another. There is a consistency that you can build your life on, a consistency that will determine and define eternity. Let me now just take you into the scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 19. Here's the verse, and again, listen for the passion, the prayer, and the people to be elevated out of the scriptures, and then we'll unpack it. It's God's word that says, I urge you, the more earnestly to do this, in order that I may be restored to you all the sooner. Now, obviously, I'm using the inflection of my voice to try to make a point, but I pray that you're hearing this. Hear the passion. I want to break down a number of ways this first component, the passion. I urge you the more earnestly to do this. When we think about the urging, note here in the Christian context, when we are urging, we're calling for authenticity. We're bringing to point the fact that we're going to add to clarity. We're ultimately calling the others to be this essence of Christianity. Let me just try to help embellish this understanding of urging by, again, taking us back to that day 2 years ago when we looked at Acts 2:46. Watch this, and I pray, let the urging come into a greater context for you. My prayer is that you and I will know this blessing of being the family of God. You see,
We're going to focus in on Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And in the Disciples Path curriculum this week, the concentration is on living out your life as the church in biblical community. And here's the text. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Our friends at the Disciples Path will tell you that the big idea, the timeless truth for today is this, and I quote, "We are called to live authentically and interdependently with one another in biblical community," end quote. Now, let me just preface that and remind you, for those of you that don't know, in the New Testament alone, there are 100 one another passages. So I pray that before we finish today that you will see both the blessing and the beauty of being Christ's unified body. Let me say that again. It's my prayer that before we're done today, you will understand in a way that shapes your eternity the blessing and the beauty of being Christ's unified body. That this is not something that's up for options. It's not up for debate biblically. And so what I'd like you to do is think about forks in the road, if I can use my hands to illustrate. We're going to have to come through, you and me, every single day, and in terms of our understanding of what it is to be a Christian and to be the church, we're going to have to come through some defining forks in the road. And so if you think of this as that fork in the road, I'm going to show you three of them. And here's what I want you to do. Instead of thinking of them as equally divergent, allow me, if you will, to presume upon you that one way is right, and it is due north. And so the forks in the road are not between neutral options. They're between right, the straight and narrow, and wrong. So here's the three forks in the road that get at what it is to be together. First and foremost, is the church a people or a place? Secondly, do you find yourself in the church prayerfully called and placed by God, or playfully, where you like to go and play and where it's fun and where we have things in common and we love to potluck together and we have kids that play Little League together? And thirdly, another fork in the road. Am I in a place or am I the people? And am I, as the people, purposely living passionately together? Or am I simply pragmatically in proximity? And what I pray that you will see before we finish today is that being the church is being a people who are prayerfully placed and purposely, passionately living together. That is the straight and narrow road, and few will find it, by the way. And if you press in, you'll find that I'm paraphrasing a trustworthy teacher when I tell you that. Or is church a place that you playfully pick and pragmatically just stand in proximity to each other? This is definitive when you come to understand this word together.
You've got to understand, friends, that our ways and our methods are just as important as God's word and God's message. That it's not enough to say you know what he said. You got to do what he said. It's not enough to say I'll do it my way. You've got to do it his way. This is what it is to be the church. This is at the heart of urging one another. It's the iron sharpening iron. It's the brother and sister loving one another through thick and thin.
I pray that that doesn't take any of you that are here off guard. I pray that you recognize, hey, yeah, this is true. If I'm going to understand the church, I need to understand Christ, which means I need to understand the gospel. Let me show you the next slide. When we talk about the stick man church, we have to understand that the world is still only filled with two types of people, the lost and the found. The church has in it the lost and the found. You see the gospel over and over. To understand this, you see the stick man gospel as Matthew showed. And then you're going to see that in the church, when you look at it, we're going to start with the far lost. There are wolves in the church. There are wolves in the visible church. That's what Jesus said. This is not Jeff, this is Jesus. Matthew 7:15, followed up, you'll see. Acts 20:29, Paul follows up. Well, who are the wolves? The wolves, they come in three different forms. There are lone wolves. These are the one-man hitting crew. This is the secret agent, the one who can get in and do incredible damage all by themselves. Then there are packs of wolves, those that are like the mob mentality. They get in and they eventually do damage and they do their destruction in mass. They come in and they take over, literally. And then you have the suicide bomber wolves, those who are willing to literally die and destroy themselves for the goal of destruction. This is what you and I have to understand. They exist and they're in the cultural church. Next to the wolves, there are goats, spiritual goats. Jesus talks about his sheep. Well, the goats are those that look like sheep. And we have three forms. We have head goats, heart goats, and hand goats. The head goats, these are the ones who know, they don't know the truth, or they hold to the wrong truth. They're holding to perversions. They believe in false gospels. The heart goats, they're sincere, but their heart hasn't really changed. The hand goats, they're the ones that would say, for example, I don't need to obey. That's what grace is for. These are the goats, and they come in any one of those forms or any combination thereof. These are the ones, the goats are the ones who jump over the cross, call themselves Christians, think themselves Christians, act like Christians. Whereas on the other side of the cross, we have the sheep. Matthew, if you show the sheep, these are the real children of God. Please understand that this is what the world is filled with. This is what the cultural church is filled with. The sheep, they come in three forms as well. I've added one here. You got sheep, you got sheep dogs, and you got shepherds. All sheep are either sheep, babies or bigger ones. Sheep dogs, those are the leaders that are helping the shepherds who aren't quite shepherds. And then you have shepherds. And I want you to understand that every sheep, next slide, Matthew. Every sheep is going to be a part of this. In the visible church, what you have are wolves, goats, sheep, and shepherd. The visible church, please understand this image. Let's stop for a minute because you got to understand it. Based on the gospel, the stick man gospel, you're going to have three different kinds of people that are going to come forward. They're all going to claim to know about the miracle. They're all going to claim to be in line with the Messiah. They're all going to claim to be on mission. But one of them will have come over the church, over the cross. That's the goat. One of them will come under the church. That's the wolf. Some of them will come through the cross. Praise God. Those are the sheep. And the sheep will come in the form of sheep, sheepdogs, and shepherds. By the way, just for illustration purposes, you can also fit a snake in between the wolf and the goat. Like you can fit the sheepdog in there. All of the true sheep are going to be miraculous, Christ-like works in progress. This is what's important. It's not who's doing, who has the resume, who's been in church all their life, who's teaching a Sunday school class, who can quote scripture. It's who's received the miracle of saving grace by the one Messiah that now makes them truly Christ-like, and they're a work in progress living on mission. That's the definition of the family of God. And you and I have got to understand this difference. When we look and we see the stick man church, again, Matthew, to the title slide, you and I will see that there's not only a visible church, that there's an imposter church. If the visible is going to have wolves, goats, sheep, and shepherds, the imposter churches, these are the ones that are just filled with wolves and goats, and they exist. They're all over the place. I want you to think about the heresies. I want you to think about those that are literally telling the world, oh yeah, come with us. We're Christian, and their doctrine is not Christian. Think about those that are filled with the showmen and the compromisers, the poison. They are creating false gospel followers, which means they're creating false converts, and they're giving them a false confidence. There are imposter churches all over the world. All over the world, all around you and me. This is oftentimes what is in the culture. That's why the Stickman Church, this teaching, this tool, it's designed to help you and me to understand the visible imposters versus the invisible, the remnant, the true church, who are still imperfect. Let me again show you the next slide and what that looks like. When you see this, you'll realize that the visible church, we're a mess. It's been that way from the beginning. That's why you see Jacob and his family's a mess. Go listen to Paul. Listen to God talk to the Corinthians. They're a mess. Listen to most of the scriptures. They're a mess. There's a problem. It's sin. It's in the church. If you and I don't understand this, and if we don't have the steel in our spine to stand up and speak this truth in love, to fight the fight of faith for the family of faith, what you end up with is exactly what we have. This has been the warning of God from the beginning and throughout the scriptures. You and I need to understand this, in part so that we can be the ambassadors we've been called to be. Also in part to save those who are following others into the darkness. To make sure that we are truly helping. I hear so many things, well, at least they're in church. I'd rather they not be in church. If you say, well, at least they're in church, they're following a false gospel, they have confidence going to hell. Better they be out here in the cold. This is the whole essence of church discipline. Better they understand the coldness of aloneness for truth and love's sake. If you look, the invisible church is the real deal. This is the remnant. This is those who are the sheep. The sheepdogs, the shepherds. Next slide, Matthew. This is what that looks like. Now, in the invisible church, we're also imperfect. So it's the church that is filled with the sheepdogs and the shepherds. But make no mistake, there is no arrogance here. I am not speaking to you from some perch that says we're better. It's all of grace. And the true invisible church, that where God's people really reside, that community of faithful believers, we're also imperfect. And it's critically important that you and I are able to understand the difference between those that are going to be the visible, oh, I'm in, I'm a Christian, and the imposters, as opposed to and in contrast directly to the invisible and the imperfect. This is not a message of perfectionism. This is a message of the gospel. For the purpose of bringing clarity to who is and who is not in the family of God. If the church would be the church, stand up, use God's definitions, God's descriptions, God's mission, without compromise, with clarity, then you would see that we would be Christ's church where healing takes place. That's the purpose, the privilege, that Christ's church would be the place where, under one faith, the true biblical faith in the one Messiah, it would make one true biblical family, and we would live with one biblical focus. That's the essence and the message of what it is to be the family of God. Let me show it to you in its fullness. You see, to be the Stickman Church is to acknowledge that there's a problem and to be a house built on God's word for God's glory. At the very top, you'll see that we come under the Messiah and the truth of his word, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. It's where we get all of our definitions. It's where everything takes place. You'll see in the equal sign, if you're really going to come into the front door, it's through John 3:36, that those who believe have life. Those who do not obey do not have life, and the wrath of God abides on them. Not my words. This is what it is to come in. You'll see from the very top, look at the cross. This is Christ's house. This is Creator Christ, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This is the family and the house of Creator Christ, bar none. Take a look at the roof. We are built on the unity, the supernatural oneness, the perfect unity that Christ prayed for on our behalf. The other side of the roof, John 13, this is how people will know whose house it is, because they'll recognize us by our love for one another. Come into the attic. You'll see everything in this house comes underneath truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. You'll see that we are truly the fully devoted family of God. Acts 2:41-47. We are the ones being together under the power of God's Spirit and for his purpose. You'll see 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. We're the ones who are new creations. We're the ambassadors for Christ, the ministers of reconciliation. Reconciliation to this truth. Ambassadors for this Christ. Defenders of this house. 2 Thessalonians 5:12-22. You'll see a portrait. I encourage you, go there, read it. You'll see what we live like, what we learn like, what we love like. You'll recognize as well, Philippians 2:10-12, we're the people that are telling everybody else, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's coming. And in the meantime, we're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Remember, we're the humble, bold people of God. We're going to be those who lay down not just the sin, Hebrews 12:1-3, but also the encumbrances, anything that slows us down. We're going to be the people that live out the great commandments. We're going to love the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is who we are. This is the DNA. You say, well, I don't fit there. Well, you don't fit in the family of God. Well, I don't like that house. Well, you live someplace else because this is the house of God. This is his words. These are his truths. We'll see that we're going to recognize at the front door. How do you come in that front door? You recognize that you were dead in your sin, and the only way you got in is by grace through faith. And you were brought in for the purpose of fulfilling the work that God had for you, designed from before time began. Well, how am I going to do that? Oh, we get that covered at the front door as well. You're going to have the fruit of the Spirit in you to work through you in all that you do. Well, I don't think I can. Well, yes, you can. That's a promise of God, not mine. That's his. There's no can't in this house. There's no can't on this side of the cross. Can't was killed at the cross. So if you come into this house, you have the ability to do all things. 2 Peter 1:3. I've received everything I need for life and godliness. Well, now let's take a look at those in the house. First thing you'll see on the floor is Luke 8. We've got to understand the parable of the soils. We've got to know who really is and who is not. And just because you seem to have sprouted, we know from Jesus' teaching that that doesn't mean you have life. We need to understand the parable of the soils, that this process never ends. We're going to look and recognize that if we are truly his, not only will we produce a fold that's 30, 60, 100 times, but we're going to live out the Beatitudes. We're going to literally be that people who live in contrast to culture. We're going to be those who are shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves in all that we do. Say, why, Pastor Jeff? Well, let's take a look at the pillars that this house is built on. Because we know right from the very beginning, James 4:4, we need to be shrewd, because if somebody comes in and they're still in love with the world, they're making friends with the world, we need to understand that's an enemy of God. Well, don't tell me I can't be in the family of God and still be a friend with the world. Well, I'm not going to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you Jesus said that. That this is God's word. To be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. Well, that's going to take some discernment. Yeah, you better believe it. That's why we need to be shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. Judge not, preacher. John 7:24. You're commanded to judge. Commanded to judge righteously. Don't you let people back you down with those lies from the enemy where they take scripture and twist it. You let people know that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. My place is not to tell you who is and who isn't. My place is to tell you what the truth is and encourage you to check your heart. To check your heart. How long you've sat in a certain pew or how long you've been in the church means nothing. The only question is how long and if you are in Christ. Again, see, the stick man church is directly connected to the stick man gospel. You can't pull them apart. Next, you see that Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, that this is going to be the people who lean not on their own understandings, but we follow God. He makes our path straight. That's important to recognize. We're going to recognize this as well by obeying. John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Don't tell me that I don't love God. Well, you're in disobedience. Yeah, so what? Well, he says, if that's how you live, if that's the pattern of your life, you don't love him. Oh, where does it say that? Right here. And if you come to God's house, we'll tell you. And more importantly, we're not just going to bark at you. We'll help you. We'll help you. We're turning on the light so that you can see. Come and see. The church of God is also Jude 3 and 4. We contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints because there are creeps who have crept in. I pray that you now understand the creeps of Jude. They're wolves and they're goats, and they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. They're in the visible church amongst the imposters. They are not, praise God, in the invisible church. The church that today, until Christ returns, only he can see. Our place is to hold the standard up, to champion these things. You and I will see as well, Acts 20:29, Paul echoes Jesus' own warning, beware the wolves that I know as soon as I leave, they will come up from amongst you. Wolves in sheep's clothing. They are ravenous. They seek to destroy. The church is also built on Philippians 4:13, because right about the time you think, oh my goodness, what do? You can do all things in Christ who gives you strength. We are the bold, zealous winners who live in victory in Christ. What do with that strength? Luke 10:6, we go seeking out and finding the persons of peace. That's what we do. We come and see so we can go and tell and search and find those persons of peace. And when we find them, we not only bring to them the gospel, but we share our very lives with them. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we demonstrate real love, real truth in action. And we do it as Romans 8:37, overwhelming overcomers. Now, jump over any of that, and you've got a problem. This is the message of Titus 2:15, my life verse. Declare these things. Declare. Not whisper. Declare these things. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no one disregard you. That's the family of God. Now notice, kitty corner there. I'm going to jump over that verse. We're going to end there. Let's go to the back door. You look on the back door going out. You got a whole lot of acts here. You got Acts that's going to tell us that we literally are going to go out as ordinary, unschooled people whose witnesses, they've been with Christ. It's not going to be your seminary degree. It's not going to be your resume. It's going to be, wow, say what you want, but those people have obviously been with Christ. I see it in the way that they live. I see it in the way that they love. We go down and we see Acts 17:6-11. We're going to be the people, the family of God, are the ones who are accused of turning the world upside down. We're going to turn the world upside down as Bereans who check everything against the word of God. We're going to go out in the full armor of God, knowing that we need to live in the full armor because this is war. This is war. We're going to go out in that war with all authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, you now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. And don't worry, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, even with that promise, Acts 12:5, we're going to pray fervently like the church did for Peter to see him broken out. We're going to pray for the power of God to be unleashed. In Acts 13, we're going to do it as the church of Antioch that is sending out. This is who we are. This is the family of God. That's the biblical church, at least a summary of it. That's the stick man church that is the fullness in warning in everything of what it is to be the family of God. In that image down in the kitty corner, it breaks all the other angles. It's not in line with everything else. That's 1 John 2:19. So if somebody hears all this and then says, yeah, not for me, I'm out of here. But you know, I'm just going to go to another version of the family of God. 1 John 2:19. They are no longer with us because they were never really of us. Let me tell you, if this understanding of church is not where you want to be, then you don't want to be in the family of God. This is the biblical portrait. Yeah, well, we're going to go where it's more like this, or we're more like that. Listen, this portrait that I've just shared with you, it's got 1,000 personalities. You can put all different kinds of personality in this. It's not just the bridge. It's not any particular local church. But this is the biblical church. And if and when anyone wants to go anywhere else for any reason that breaks these words of God, these standards of God, they are demonstrating that they are unhealthy. At the very least, they're demonstrating a severe immaturity. At worst, they're demonstrating unbelief. And unbelief kills. This is what it is to be the family of God. Let me bring you back one more time to that message from 3 years ago, and then we'll close. I pray you would now say, well, that could have been Jude. Well, you know, that could have been the close of Romans. You know, that sounds an awful lot like the end of Acts 2. Well, that really is what we've heard all the way through 2 John. Well, it seemed to be the exclamation mark in 1 John. It's the clear point right here in Revelation 2 and 3. And still, I know there'll be some that'll say, yeah, but I just don't think we need to go quite that far. You know, you still seem a little harsh. You're saying that this truth and love is going to act like this? Well, let's go back and we'll finish here. Verse 10 and 11, 2 John. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Whoa. I pray that stops you in your tracks. Some of you have been hugging snakes. Some of you have been petting wolves. Some of you have been used by the deceivers to create cover where they can do damage to others. That's why this is here. And truth and love fights for family by telling the truth and love that protects the family. If anyone comes to you, and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John are written about warnings for those that you think you know and can trust. It's directly here to address you when you say, well, certainly couldn't be that person. Well, I know better. I couldn't possibly be deceived. May our pride never interfere with God's purity. May our pride never interfere with God's purity. Let me show you again just the summary in the children's version, what it is to understand. The stick man church, it's the biblical church. It's to acknowledge the reality of the trappings of the fact that there will be those who have jumped over the cross and those who tunnel underneath it that come into the visible cultural church. Now, your place and my place, it's to live out the truth and love that shares this understanding, that invites all to come and see, come and see. And then we go and tell. And sometimes the going and telling, it's to remind people like today. You need to remember this. You need to remember where we come from. Listen, the professed visible family of God, they've been messed up from the beginning. What is in the culture is messed up today. And until Christ returns, it's going to get worse. Our place is to be the change agents that bring God glory by championing his truth and love unapologetically, boldly, and humbly with an evangelistic zeal that says, I'm willing for you not to like me, if that's what it takes for me to love you with truth and love. I'm willing to risk people not liking me so that they understand the truth and love that truly demonstrates love to them. I pray that that will help you to be, and help you to help others to be. We are in a pandemic, but let me tell you, COVID has nothing on the corruption that has come into the cultural church all over the world. I'm going to close with some old school words of praise that I pray will help you to take this message and this truth deep into your heart. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come today recognizing that even amongst the invisible, we are imperfect. Oftentimes, we struggle. Praise God, we can come as the imperfect, confess and repent and be restored. I thank you for all that you have done. I pray, Lord, that where there is conviction, that it will be followed up with confession. Lord, may there not be any sense of arrogance or pride here, just truth and love. As one who has been there to see the carnage, as one who has watched people drift away, I pray that today you are glorified by the making of disciples. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen and amen.
darkness.